I want to begin this morning with a story that I'm guessing some of you have perhaps heard before. It's a story about a man who was shipwrecked on an island. He was a castaway, and he was all by himself on this deserted island, and he was there for 15 years. And during those long years, he had to occupy himself. And so to occupy himself, he built this entire village, complete with roads, buildings, houses. And so when he was finally rescued, he took the rescue crew on a tour of the village. And first he showed them this well-maintained and furnished three-bedroom house in which he lived. Then he showed them the grocery store that he went shopping at, and the bank that he went to, and the gym where he worked out. And he gave them this tour, and he got to the end of it, and they're all very impressed by what he had done during these 15 years and building this village. But they noticed that there were two buildings that he didn't talk about. And so one of them asked, well, what about those two buildings over there? And he said, oh, the one on the left is where I go to church. And then they asked, well, what about the one on the right? He said, oh, well, that's where I used to go to church. Believe it or not, conflict is something that is familiar to churches. In fact, the letters of Paul generally are him addressing conflict in the early Christian churches. I would say that it's a part of our DNA as Christians, but I think the truth of the matter is that conflict is a part of being human. We humans are a diverse bunch, and we're continually struggling to negotiate and to come to terms with the differences that are among us. And as we're doing that, we're struggling with all these differences that are among us. And trying to come to terms with this, and it can be incredibly difficult to do that. How many of you, what's the first thing that we do? I mean, conflict is an inevitable part of life, but what's the first thing we do when we see signs of conflict starting to pop up? What do we want to do? We want to, often many of us want to run for the hills, right? We want to avoid conflict. We want to run from it and get away from it. And there can be some very good reasons for that. Some of us might have grown up in households where conflict was very destructive. Or we might have had negative experiences with conflict elsewhere in our lives. And often, whatever the reason might be, conflict gets attached to some of our worst fears. Fears of rejection, fears of anger, fears of being hurt, and also fears of hurting other people. And so conflict can be this really difficult thing for us to deal with, and we might want to run for it for some good reasons, but if you think about it, what happens often when we avoid conflict or we run from it? Things get worse. Avoiding conflict can often lead to more pain, more devastation, and ironically, more conflict. Think of the spouse who continually comes home late from work night after night because he or she wants to avoid conflict or tension at home. It's that kind of avoidance that can eventually pave the way for divorce. And similar things can happen in churches. There can be a conflict, and to avoid that conflict, people will stop coming to worship. And eventually they'll stop being members of the church. Conflict is this incredibly important thing for churches to deal with effectively. Imagine what would happen if every time any of us got into a conflict with someone else, we stopped making eye contact with them. Soon, after a while, we'd all be coming to church just looking at our feet, walking around. Hello, Dwight. Hello, Doreen. I'm just joking. But I also recognize that conflict, when you've been hurt or when you're really wound up about something, I recognize that it can be hard to make eye contact with someone or to even be in the same room with them, because conflict can be incredibly difficult to deal with emotionally. Now, there are self-help books out there on conflict that will tell you about the benefits of being able to embrace conflict and deal with it constructively and productively, and they'll say conflict is a good thing. And some of the benefits of conflict that might be listed are increased self-confidence, stronger relationships, less anger, less fear, more peace, more respect, an increased sense of personal strength. All of that is probably true. But I think as Christians, our primary motivation in embracing conflict is actually different. Consider our scripture reading for today. It comes from the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And what Jesus essentially says is, if you're in conflict with someone else that you're worshiping with, drop your offering and go mend that relationship. And once you've reconciled with that other person, then you can come back and then you can worship. Jesus was using hyperbole to make an important point. If you want to get right with God, you first have to get right with those around you that you're worshiping with. And that point is later expanded upon in the gospel. If you want to get right with God, you have to be right with your neighbor, whoever that might be. As churches and as Christians, we're continually called to the work of reconciliation, and it's some of the hardest work that we can do as Christians. In churches today, I think there are some particular issues that are really important to address when it comes to conflict. Over the past couple of months, I've had almost two identical conversations with two different pastors. A couple of months ago, I was talking with a pastor, and she was telling me about all the social justice causes in her town. She ministers in a different city. And she was talking about kind of the big issue that they're dealing with in their town. And as I was listening, I was getting envious. I was just like, and so eventually I said, wow, what an incredible opportunity you have to address that problem. And given the tone and tenor of our conversation, I was certain that she would agree with me. But instead she said, oh no, I can never preach on that because it's too controversial. And almost a month later, I had the exact same conversation with someone. And I've heard this before. When my doctoral research, I interviewed lots of ministers, and a lot of them said similar things for why they didn't want to address economic issues from the pulpit. But for some reason, these two instances in particular made me feel incredibly sad over some of the trends in churches today. I believe that the greatest sin in many churches today is the failure to talk about issues that have been deemed political, which means that they might generate differences of opinion and conflict. I have this vision that the world could literally be going to hell in a handbasket, and there'd be a church with flames, surrounded by flames, and people would be inside walking around going, shh, we can't talk about this. It's political. Right? So it's important to be able to talk about these things. And the amazing thing is that's how churches reach their greatest potential, is by having those difficult conversations. Can you imagine 22 years ago or more, when members of our church, probably some of you remember this, when they first started having conversations, first had the idea, well, maybe we should be an open and affirming church. Do you think there were some differences of opinion, some conflict? But if we hadn't have gone through that, we never would have reached our greatest potential. If you think about Congregationalists, when they first start talking about whether or not they should oppose slavery, right? If they had never had those conversations, some of those Congregationalists would never have done the things that today make us so proud. And for today, for us to reach our greatest potential, I believe we not only have to have difficult conversations, but we're in this opportunity where it's important for us to role model having those conversations for the rest of society. Because when we have those conversations, and this is why I'm so proud of our church, because of our congregational vote to continue having discussion and education about the oil terminal, even though there's differences of opinion. Because we have this incredible opportunity today in our society, given the climate of our society, when everybody, they're so polarized, And so often, people can't even have differences respectfully. We have this incredible opportunity to role model something different and to be something different than the rest of what goes on in society today. Now, there might be times when we see some conflict and our first reaction might be to want to run for the hills. And that's okay. I understand that. And one of the metaphors that's really helped me comes from this book called The Coward's Guide to Conflict. So it's by Tim Urson. And he has this metaphor. He talks about how back in the early 1990s, I wasn't a part of this, but I guess it was really popular to do men's retreats and to do these male bonding retreats where men would get together and they'd beat on drums and they'd induce tears and so forth. And so he went on this male bonding retreat with one of his best buddies. And on this particular retreat, they were doing a sweat lodge. And the day came when they're going to do the sweat lodge. And for those of you unfamiliar, sweat lodges, there's these little teepees where they carry in these big, hot, glowing rocks and they put them in the center and they pour a little bit of water on top of them. Well, it so happened that this day happened to be much hotter than normal. And there are various factors that made the inside of that little teepee much hotter than it normally would have been. And so he went into the sweat lodge with a bunch of smelly, sweaty, semi-naked, and completely naked men. And they all crammed into it. It was really tightly packed. And it got so hot that eventually some of the men couldn't take it anymore, and they had to leave. And Tim Ursini was telling the story. He so desperately wanted to leave, but he took a look at his buddy, and he could tell his buddy was not going to let him move an inch, that they were committed to this. And so he tried every mental trick in the book to get himself to stay in there, and he just about went crazy when he did something that you would think might be the exact opposite of what one would do in this situation. Instead of trying to get further away from the hot, glowing rocks in the middle, he decided to move closer to him, and in fact got as close as he possibly could without burning himself. And he even started to gesture like this, as if he wanted the rocks to send him even more heat. And soon, it might seem inexplicable at first, but he started laughing. And he was in that sweat lodge for the next 3 hours, and on and off he would find himself laughing. And what he was able to do is that instead of fighting his fear, he embraced his fear. Now, as churches, I believe we reach our highest potential by embracing our fears and by embracing our conflict, because the work of reconciliation requires nothing less. Reconciliation requires getting closer to the heat, not farther away. It requires drawing near to the heat, not scooting back against the wall. And it's embracing conflict that we're able to live up to our high calling. It's embracing conflict in the pursuit of reconciliation that we're ultimately able to all join as one in the body of Christ. And in embracing conflict, we might make a startling discovery along the way. We might discover that we can actually handle the heat, and we might actually find ourselves laughing and laughing together. Amen.